even as Chris has been sharing some of these prayer concerns, and we've been praying this morning, and even as I've been listening before the service, aware of just a lot of great challenges going on in the lives of people in our congregation. I think we really need to hear these words from Isaiah, and so I'm going to ask you to open your hearts again as I read the very same scripture that Dawn read as our call to worship this morning, these words from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. May our hearts be open as we listen to the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord through Isaiah. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing what you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, this is not in the bulletin. I want to read for you a couple of verses from the New Testament. By the way, I hope it's okay to do something not in the bulletin. Is that all right? Luke chapter 4. Listen again, would you please? Just listen to these words. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Here about a year ago, I was traveling to Wyoming. I was flying from Lansing and had taken a connecting flight to Chicago, and it just so happened that I had a long layover in Chicago. So I got out my Kindle and I read for a while until my eyes got tired, then I got up and walked around a little ways there in O'Hare, and then I came back to the seating around the gate where I was going to be flying out of Chicago, and the seats were beginning to fill up because it was getting closer to the time of the departure of my flight, and so I found a seat right next to a gentleman a little bit younger than me, hard to believe, and he was pulling his iPad out of his briefcase and began working on his iPad, and really, mostly because I just wanted to make conversation, I came up with this extraordinarily clever introduction. So how do you like your iPad? You can borrow that sometime. You may use that line sometime. And he began showing me what he could do on his iPad and how it was a useful tool to him and his work and all the different things he could do on this little device. And after a few minutes of sharing and talking about all of its valuable features, he said, "But you know, there is one thing. I don't ever feel like I get any downtime." He said, "The people that I work with know that if they have a problem, they can contact me through this iPad, or if there is some challenge that we need to overcome, they can contact me through the iPad. And I could be seated with my wife in the evening watching TV together, and I have to respond to people's pleas to me through this device, and I don't feel like I ever have any downtime." Well, the word of the Lord through Isaiah is a word of the Lord that is addressing the need for downtime. In fact, that doesn't really get close. The word of the Lord through Isaiah is a word that is addressing the need of God's people for rest, for the deepest, most powerful, most overwhelming, most empowering kind of rest. The word that Isaiah uses to describe this kind of rest is the word Sabbath. So here are the people of God. They are in the 6th century prior to the time of Jesus, and life is hard, hard, hard. This is the Jewish community who has been in exile together in Babylon for decades and decades, and now miraculously they've been freed, set free from their exile to come back to their homeland, but things were not at all as they had anticipated, and the world is a very, very harsh place. There is no economy. There is no employment. Poverty is bone-crushing poverty. Their lives are hard and difficult. And it is in this context, this incredibly harsh context, that Isaiah says to the people, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, then you will find joy. Folks, can't you just almost picture some fellow out there trying to put his plow into the hard clay soil of Palestine, trying to begin to work his way down the furrow in this incredibly hard, hard climate, trying to make a living for his family, listening to the word of Isaiah shouting over his shoulder, if you keep the your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you will experience the blessings of the Lord. And can't you just picture some guy trying to push his plow down in through the ground and trying to make some furrows into the ground, looking over his shoulder and listening to Isaiah and shouting, really? That's the best you got? I'm trying to feed my family, and I've only got 7 days in a week, and the best you've got is that God calls us to be restful on the Sabbath day? Really? Can't you just picture some of the council of leaders in this community, people who are beginning to form in this reconstituted community, who don't have any idea what they can do? They're putting their heads together and they're trying to figure out, how do we get some money moving in our system? How do we get things up and rolling again? How in the world are we going to develop some sort of economy that will empower people to live again? And they listen to Isaiah shouting the words, if my people will keep their feet from breaking the Sabbath, then I will bless them. And can't you just picture this council of leaders looking over and saying, really? That's all you got? We should keep the Sabbath day holy? That's all you got? As a father, I can just picture a couple of parents who are exhausted and gaunt from worry for their children. Because they don't know how in the world they're going to make a future for their family. And they're listening to Isaiah proclaim the need for Sabbath. And they're saying, are you serious right now? Really? That's the best you got? You see, Isaiah 58 is speaking about God's ancient call to his people to set apart a day that is different than any other day. One day of the 7 days of the week that is different than any other day. You remember the story. This story is rooted in the story of creation itself. On the 6 days, God created and created and created and created. And then on the 7th day, what did God do? He rested. By the way, one of the funniest verses in the Bible, God rested. What does that mean? It's picked up in Exodus, in the 10 commandments, in the 10 summarized commandments of the law of Israel, the perfect 10. Number 4? Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, set this day apart, don't do any work on this day, keep this day clean. This is a holy day. Did you know that throughout the history of the people of Israel that most of the renewal movements in the history of Israel included the reclaiming of Sabbath? Along comes King Hezekiah. Israel is a mess, is a total and perfect chaotic mess. Hezekiah looks around and says, oh my goodness, what have we been doing? We haven't been keeping the Sabbath. God's people begin to keep the Sabbath once again. Josiah, King Josiah, does the same thing. By the way, some of you didn't know that Josiah is someone other than just the son of our former youth pastor. He was also a king of Israel at one time. Josiah comes along and says, what's going on? We need to reform, we need to renew, we need to be who we are. And so once again, the children of Israel set aside this day for Sabbath. I would like to describe for you as best I can what Sabbath looks like. The best I can describe Sabbath is to use the description of a lady by the name of Susanna Heschel, who wrote in the preface of a book of her famous father, Abraham Heschel, who was a Jewish philosopher and theologian who wrote in the 1950s and 60s. And in the preface to one of his books, Susanna Heschel described Sabbath. She said, on Friday evening when the sun went down, which is the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, on the Friday evening when the sun went down, the candles were lit in her family's home. And the family would sit down together around the table, and the father would take a cup, and using an ancient Jewish blessing, he would bless the cup and he would bless the meal. And then the family would begin to eat together this Sabbath meal. She said, now truth be told, my parents worked unbelievably hard to make Sabbath happen. She said her mother would begin cooking this meal, this Friday evening meal. She'd begin cooking it hours earlier, and she would prepare the table with painstaking attention to detail so that everything was just as it was supposed to be. And her father would come home from work 2 hours early on Friday evenings so that he could help his wife get everything ready for the Sabbath and get the house all cleaned up. And occasionally, they would invite some friends to come over and share with them the Friday evening meal. And there they would sit and eat around the table and take a long time to eat and to tell stories and to talk about what had happened during the week previous. And when the meal was done, they would sit down, and sometimes his parents would read or continue in conversation. And then they would go to bed a little bit early on Friday evening, and Saturday morning they would arise. It was still Sabbath, you see, because the Sabbath was the whole day, 24 hours. And so Saturday morning they would arise, and they would get dressed for worship. And Susanna described how they would walk together 15 minutes. They would walk to the school where her father was a teacher of young men who were preparing to be rabbis. And at this school, there was a synagogue, and they would walk together 15 minutes, and they would greet others who were walking together on their way to the synagogue. And sometimes families would walk together, and they would then be seated in the synagogue. And occasionally, one of the young rabbinical students would preach the sermon, and on the way out, professors would criticize the young student's sermon. And this is just to let you know that this is a time-honored ancient tradition, criticizing the sermon. Susanna said that as they would walk home, very often they would walk with a family or others that her parents had invited home for dinner for that day. And so they would walk the 15-minute walk to their house, and they would go inside, and they would get the meal ready, and they would sit around the table. And her parents had one very strict rule on Sabbath. They said, you can't build a fire on the Sabbath. But what they meant in their home was, the fires of anger are not prohibited on the Sabbath day. If you have to be angry, you can be angry on Sunday through the rest of the week, but the fires of anger will not be burned. They would not allow anyone to speak about politics or about the Holocaust or about evil on Sabbath. They would eat together around the table, and then after they'd eaten their Sabbath meal, they would say goodbye to their friends and perhaps take a nap. And she remembers her parents reading biblical texts and reading scripture, reading spiritual books, and then sometimes her father would invite some of his students to come later in the day on Saturday, and they would sit around the table and they would have long conversations about important matters, and then at the end of the day they would go on their way, and the Sabbath had ended. This is as good of a description of what it is that Isaiah is calling the people of God to do in the 5th century prior to Jesus as anything I can imagine. This day for being fully present to God, and this day for being fully present to people, and this day for prioritizing relationship, and this day for being present to the creation itself. And this is what Isaiah is calling the people to do in the 5th century prior to Jesus. Prioritize this day. Stop working. Let your work be done on all the other days of the week. Stop all of your incessant activity. This is a day to just be. And it's hard. Can you imagine in the 5th century prior to Jesus, when life is so very difficult, can you imagine setting everything aside and practicing Sabbath. Well, we are in the midst of a series here in our worship services that we're calling Adoring Reverence. We're thinking about worship. We're reflecting together on what it means to be the people who come together for worship. And I am absolutely convinced that we can talk about and speak about worship without speaking about Sabbath. Biblically speaking, we just can't do it. To speak about worship and to be biblical, we absolutely must talk about Sabbath. Not, by the way, that we Christians haven't tried to not do that. You've probably heard some of this, as some of I. You've probably heard some people say, well, this thing about the Sabbath, all of that is in the Old Testament. Along came Jesus, he did away with the law, and now it's no longer necessary for us. We really don't need to do that anymore. Sometimes we'll actually use the stories about Jesus on the Sabbath. When Jesus got in trouble on the Sabbath for healing and practicing compassion on the Sabbath, and people accused him of worship and being a breaker of the Sabbath. And sometimes you may have heard preachers like me say, by virtue of the fact that Jesus performed healings on the Sabbath, it's no longer valid for us any longer. We simply don't need to give it any attention. The problem is, Jesus wasn't critical of the Jews of his day for practicing Sabbath. He was critical of the people of his day for lacking compassion on the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath. That's what Luke is telling us in this little verse that I read just a few minutes ago. On the Sabbath day, as was his custom, Jesus and all of the other Jewish men and women of his time were gathered together in the synagogue because this was the day of rest. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is a gift. It is God's gift to us. I think the problem isn't that the Bible doesn't speak about this. The problem is, it's hard to create space in our lives, to set aside space in our lives for a day of rest is extraordinarily difficult in our world. Did you know, back up to the days when unions battled for the five-day work week, work on 5 days, you get the two-day weekend off. Did you know that the thinking in those days was, you get the 2 days off so that you can work on five, you can have 1 day to do the work in your home and around your house that you need to do, and then you have a day for Sabbath. But call me Dr. Obvious. The world has changed, in case you hadn't noticed. There is no day in our culture that is regarded as a day of rest any longer. It simply doesn't exist. People are working 7 days a week. Sometimes it seems like some of you have to work 10 days a week as I look at your schedules. This is an incredibly busy culture in which we live. There was a day when all of the shops closed down on Sundays, the Christian Sabbath. But that day is no longer. One of the biggest shopping days of the week now for Walmart is Sunday, you guessed it, Saturday and Sunday, two of the biggest days of the entire week. And so the restaurants are full, and so the businesses are full, and the factories are running, and many of you are having to work on Sundays or Saturdays or every other day. And then there was this time when our culture regarded Sunday as a special day, so we didn't have soccer games on Sundays, and we didn't have basketball practices on Sundays, and we didn't have sporting events and youth events on Sundays. And anybody want to just laugh out loud today? I'm curious, I almost want to have a show of hands, how many of you have some event that your kids have to go to today, because it just simply is not a respected day any longer as a day of rest. It just isn't. And maybe the even bigger challenge today to practicing Sabbath is here. It just isn't important to us anymore. A day to center our lives in God. A whole day to reflect on God's faithfulness so that we see the world differently. A whole day to be present with people, and a whole day to be present to the creation. Goodness, what a waste of time. We all have so many more important things to do. Maybe the biggest challenge isn't what's going on in our culture. Maybe the biggest challenge is it's just not important to us. So I want to ask you to remember the situation to which these words of Isaiah are addressed. Life is hard. People are trying to rebuild towns and villages. The walls around, the best evidence is that the walls around Jerusalem hadn't even been built yet. The temple hadn't even been built yet. They had 20 days of work to do within seven. And the word of the Lord of Isaiah to this people was, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, then you will experience the Lord's blessing. But did you notice the language in this passage? Listen to the language. If you call the Sabbath not a burden, not something that you have to do, if you call the Sabbath a delight, if you call the Lord's Day not, oh, something that we have to do because God's required us, no. If you call the Lord's Day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please and not speaking idle words, then you will find the completion of your obligation. No. Then you will find, Isaiah says, then you will find joy in the Lord. I want to share with you a parable. Once upon a time, there was this village that was right alongside a harbor in the sea. And the harbor was absolutely crucial to the survival of this village. It was the only way that their goods could be exported to other people, and the other only way that food and other items could be brought to them. This harbor was absolutely crucial to their survival. The problem was that the way into this harbor was covered, or was rampant with rocky shoals and places where there was all kinds of trouble getting ships through. And in fact, over the years, hundreds and hundreds of ships had wrecked on these jagged shoals as they came into this harbor that was crucial to the life of this people. But they noticed that there was one captain who had managed to sail his ship into this harbor year after year after year, always in safety, hundreds and hundreds of times, never without any trouble. And so one day, the townspeople took him aside and said, "What is your secret? How is it that you bring your ship in safely year after year after year after year while hundreds of others are shipwrecked?" And he said, "Oh, it's no secret. It's very simple. I always come in when the tide is high." The practice of Sabbath was the tide that raised the ships of the Jewish people. The practice of the Sabbath was that which raised them up so that they would be able to deal with the challenges and the difficulties and the problems that they would have. Sabbath was the rising tide of their community life together. Picture this group of people to whom Isaiah is speaking. Their lives are so hard. But picture that on Friday evening, they put down the plow and they stop having their important meetings and they put aside all the work that they're doing trying to rebuild their communities. And just imagine that on Friday evening, all these people gather together. Some of them are so poor that literally they have to come out together with others, and together they can find enough food to have a Sabbath meal together on Friday evening. And as they do, they have conversation and they get to know each other, and relationships are taking place. And imagine that after a good night's sleep, they're getting up and they're all walking off to worship together, and they're looking around at the beautiful creation in which they live. And the world is not on the Sabbath something to be conquered, but it is something to be appreciated. So they walk together and they worship, and as they worship together, their lives are centered in God. They are learning to have hearts and minds that are open to God, and they spend the whole day talking and laughing and worshiping and knowing and observing and being. And on the Sabbath day, they realize again and again and again that the purpose of their lives is not to do, but to be. And folks, they can withstand a lot of hardship when they've got other friends that they know well to share it with. They can get through enormous challenges when their lives have been centered in the love of God who has given them life and being. They can make it through incredible challenges. When their perspective has been changed and they're learning to look and think with fresh eyes and fresh minds. This morning, I want to issue the very simplest of all calls, and that is to return to the prioritizing of the Sabbath. May I be honest with you? I haven't been doing this very well. The truth is, little things begin biting away at the edges of the practice of Sabbath, and before I know it, this little thing has come in, and then this little thing has come in, and then this little thing has come in. I hope you will almost laugh at this. Yesterday morning in an elders' meeting, we talked about our elders' meetings taking place on Sundays because it's the only day that we can make them work in our schedules. And one of our elders said, "Sometimes I wonder if we're doing a disservice to Sabbath." It's a good question. One thing is absolutely sure. It will require our absolute best prioritization to make something like Sabbath happen today. I'm going to offer a few simple suggestions. The first one is, do that. Make it a priority. Friends, it's woven into creation itself. In order for us to know that the world has a soul, we need to know that on the seventh day God rested. And we need to take a day to rest too. So my first little tiny bit of recommendation to you is make it a priority. If it's worked into the creation itself, it's worked into your body and it's worked into mine as well, make this thing called Sabbath a priority. Setting aside a day for focusing on relationship with God, with one another, with creation, with ourselves. Priority. Secondly, focus on improvement, not perfection. In our culture, we're probably not going to be able to do Sabbath the way the ancient Jews did. I wish we could. I really do. But in our culture, we're probably not going to be able to do that. We're going to have to do some things to come in that we may prefer that they didn't. Some of you, I know, are working every other Sunday. And so you're going to have to be extraordinarily creative to find ways to practice Sabbath. But let's work at improving it, setting aside this day, rather than making it perfect. Sometimes I wonder if we just don't do it because we can't do it all the way. So we work on making this thing better. Third, to do what Susanna Heschel and her family did, to center on God for this day. What if on our Sunday, our Sabbath, we were to make time for reading rather than all the many activities that we do? What if we were to make time for spiritual reading in addition to coming to worship on Sunday to extend the day out? Next, what if we were to focus on relationships? And may I just be really old fogey for just a moment, and may I say, could we make an effort on the Sabbath day to work toward real relationships, not the virtual kind? Maybe less Facebook, maybe more face-to-face on our Sabbath day. I suspect that we will find, as we do some of these things, that the tide will begin to rise and we will discover that we have resources for dealing with our challenges that we didn't even know. I'd like to close with this. I want to toss out to you a theory of what it means to say that God rested on the seventh day. This is just a theory. This is just me. Don't take this too seriously. One of the funniest verses in the Bible, that on the seventh day God rested. What in the world does this mean? On the seventh day, God stretched out a hammock from Mars to Venus and threw up his feet and got a little iced tea, a little Diet Pepsi, laid out. Enjoyed the sunshine. What does it mean to say that God rested? That God was so exhausted from 6 days of creation that God just couldn't do it anymore, and so God finally gave up in an exhausted heap? No. Did you know that in Jewish tradition, the seventh day is the completion of creation? This is what every other day points to, is God's Sabbath on the seventh day. And I'd like to throw out now my theory of what it means to say that God rested. I like to think that God anticipated the victory that was going to take place in the person of Jesus. I like to think that on the seventh day, God anticipated the coming of Jesus and the death of Jesus and God's reconciliation with all who would entrust themselves to him through the crucifixion of Jesus. And I like to think that on the seventh day, God anticipated the resurrection of Jesus, that God's resurrection power is at work in the world, and it is pointing to the day when Jesus will return and will make all things new and will bring all things to completion. And I like to think that on the seventh day, as God anticipated all of that, that God was perfectly non-anxious. Just not anxious. God's power at work in the world that is going to restore things in God's time and make all things right and new. And God, therefore, does not need to be anxious. And folks, neither do we. But in order to experience God's non-anxious way, we're going to have to set aside space. We're going to have to set aside time. We're going to have to create this thing called Sabbath somehow. Creatively, by prioritizing, we're going to have to create this thing called Sabbath so that we may, as Isaiah said in this text of Scripture, we may find joy in the Lord and that we may ride on the heights of the land and we may feast on the inheritance of our father Jacob. Listen. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen.